what's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. I'm the intern, Alex Napolis. Unfortunately, all the other guys are on vacation. Josh is on his way up to Vancouver. Andy's doing some work stuff. So I'm running solo today. So I've invited a good friend of the show, Carson Lance, to come join us today to talk RSL. Carson, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Tell us about yourself, man. Tell us about what you do, the content you make, and what you do for RSL.
Well, my name is Carson Lance. I'm from American Fork, Utah. I try to do a lot of RSL content related. I work for Area Sports Network. I recently got picked up by them a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I cover Real Salt Lake for them. I usually do game recaps, do a little article writing for them. Sometimes I do previews of games. Last game I did a preview about the Colorado game. So I just do whatever, you know. I like to make graphics sometimes. Just, yeah.
You played soccer, right? I'm assuming you grew up around soccer.
Yes, sir.
Talk to us a little about your soccer background.
Oh, man. I got to go way back. I first started out playing rec soccer in Jackson, Michigan. And, you know, my parents put me in soccer because, you know, I was an ADHD-filled kid. And soccer was the sport that got me the most tired and ready to go to bed when I came home. So that's kind of where my soccer journey started. But then when I was about 11, I moved to Utah, and that's kind of where my soccer just like took off. Utah was more in the soccer for me when I moved here than it was in Michigan. Michigan was all about basketball, football. But when I moved here, I felt like soccer had a better kind of like surrounding, you know, like people liked it more here, and like there was coaches from all over the place that were here to develop kids. And so I moved here, I joined a club that's no longer exists, it's called Stars United, and then sooner or later they combined with Utah Arsenal, which sadly Utah Arsenal doesn't exist either anymore. And I played there until high school, until I graduated, and then I was recruited by Snow College, was a junior college in Ephraim, Utah, you know, in the middle of nowhere. Played there for a year, went as a striker, came out as an outside back. And yeah, I play men's league sometimes, play intramurals, you know, I don't play much anymore, but that's kind of my background.
So what was your favorite position to play?
I really liked playing a false nine, attacking mid. You know, I played everywhere. I mean, one season in high school, I played center back, played defensive mid, played all over the place. I think my least favorite position was winger because, you know, that required probably the most running, getting up and down. But I really liked being able to be the center guy and being able to score or help others score. And so that's what I like to do.
So aside from your coverage of Real Salt Lake, would you consider yourself an RSL fan, or kind of your background with Real Salt Lake and how you became to be a fan of Real Salt Lake?
So I don't know what year it was, but when I was a little kid, I was playing with my friend on FIFA, and I didn't know the MLS existed at the time. You know, actually, I think I did. I remember I watched like always the finals when like Beckham was around and like all that. But one day I hopped on FIFA and I went to the MLS league, and I realized there's a team in Utah called Real Salt Lake. You know, my mom's from Utah, so that's how I had a connection to Utah when I was living in Michigan. And so I just was like, that's my team right there. Boom, Real Salt Lake, you know. And I just been kind of like a casual fan until like 5 years ago. Like my family, we picked up on Real Salt Lake when we moved here, and we became season ticket holders. So I think we've been season ticket holders for like the past 4 or 5 years. And we've been diehard fans since. And, you know, I kind of found a passion for writing. And I was like, you know what, let's try to get in like the more professional side and the fan side and get more into it. And that's just how I kind of got into the writing side of Real Salt Lake. So I would consider myself a fan though.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Carson, again, thank you for joining us here with RSL. Let's break down some Real Salt Lake. Let's get to what the people want to hear. And that's obviously Real Salt Lake, and they're off to a start where they won one game, they draw one, and they've lost two. What is your kind of overall assessment so far of how this season has started for RSL?
I'm just going to be honest, I'm going to say like we kind of have had an average start. You know, we lost to Miami, came back home, beat LAFC, and then we tied St. Louis. Obviously, I kind of forgot about that one a little bit. And then we had a disappointing loss at home against Colorado. I would just say it's average. Average to kind of like somewhat disappointing. You know, I feel like the past 3 years we've kind of had a start like this where it was filled with losses and wins and some thrown occasional draw. So I would say it's kind of like a disappointing average start.
Well, we haven't lost back-to-back games 4-0 like we did last season to St. Louis and Columbus. So I see that as a win. Yeah. I'll take a loss to Colorado over getting beat 4-0 at home and then getting beat 4-0 by Columbus Crew back-to-back, because that was a rough start.
See, look, I can take a loss to Columbus Crew. I can take a loss to St. Louis. You know, they're both very good teams.
Right.
But I think I'd rather take those four losses than a loss to, you know, little brother Colorado Rapids. You know, that's very disappointing.
Well, RSL is coming off the bye. They didn't have a game last weekend. Now they're heading into this match against Vancouver, against Amir Krylak at Vancouver, that historically hasn't been the best for Real Salt Lake. What are you kind of expecting? What are you kind of hoping to see for Real Salt Lake as they look to bounce back in Vancouver?
I'm looking to see other players step up, for sure. I want to see us go out and look confident. There's like some stuff we're gonna prove on. I want to see Chicho go, but I'm really expecting Vancouver. They play a three back. I'm really expecting to be another just like kind of like Colorado game where they're gonna sit back, not allow us to get any momentum going forward, and really just shut down our attack. Like, their defense is solid. You know, they got Tristan Blackman in there. They got their goalkeeper, like Takioko, very good goalkeeper. I've noticed every time Real Salt Lake plays Vancouver, he's always the standout player. He's always has a great performance against us. And their attack is very good also. So I'd expect if us to hopefully like hold it down in the back and come out with a point or even like 3 points, but I'm expecting a really good defensive battle. Vancouver's not a bad team. They're second in the West. So we got to go in and get those 3 points. So,
yeah, look, Vancouver's had a good start to the season. Like you mentioned, they're sitting near the top of the table. They had Vancouver CONCACAF Champions League to start off the season a little bit. But they've had a hot start to their time this season in Major League Soccer. And I love that you mentioned Tristan Blackman, because just a little footnote in there for everybody, I was roommates with his little brother in college, and so I have a fondness for Tristan Blackman as well. Love that guy.
That's awesome, man. That's a little fun fact about you. You can brag about to people.
It's very cool. Shout out Preston. And so heading into Vancouver, I think the biggest storyline is obviously going to be Demir Krylak. You're going against your former captain. You're going against the guy who led this locker room for a very long time. But I think more importantly, RSL is heading to Vancouver without Diego Luna, without Andres Gomez, and without Matt Crooks. Matt Crooks potentially being held out due to injury. He's going to be a game time decision from what I hear. They don't know if he's going to be able to go or not. How does that make you feel heading into Vancouver without the three guys that have kind of led the attack over the course of the last 2 weeks?
That Matt Crooks, haven't heard anything about that yet. So that's kind of like a stab to the heart, because, you know, Luna and Gomez are already out. And I think one thing this team is lacking is depth. You know, we already lost Pablo Ruiz, and to hear that maybe Matt Crooks is potentially out. And then look, I love that we're giving our guys chances. You know, Gomez and Luna specifically, they deserve to go out and play for represent their country. If Matt Crooks is out too, I don't know, man. That's a big loss, because like our depth is terrible right now. Hopefully, like, I want to see Barajas come in and maybe get some playing time and maybe just showcase his skills. I guess maybe Julio and Chang might be coming in too, but like other than that, I'm guessing some Monarchs guys might be getting the call up.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. With losing Matt Crooks, I think is huge, especially this early in the season, especially since that I feel like that's one of those positions where Real Salt Lake lacks more depth in another areas, right? We have guys on the wing who can step up, but we don't necessarily have another 10 who can come in and fill in that role of Matt Crooks. So this is a big game for Fidel Barajas. This is going to be a huge game for Fidel Barajas to kind of maybe step into that starting position as a 17-year-old to kind of take control of Real Salt Lake's attack. Give us your takes on Fidel. We here on the show have been super, super high on Fidel. We love what we see. We think he has a really, really high ceiling, but I kind of want to hear your take on Fidel.
What I've seen from Fidel Barajas, I see a lot of potential. I see a high ceiling player that if his development works out right, he can turn into, you know, another Diego Luna, maybe a better Diego Luna at Real Salt Lake. And I don't know, I feel like he's going to create a battle here in a little bit, maybe in a year or two. The U.S. and Mexico are going to be both want him. It's pretty obvious. Like, he was just with Mexico and there was rumors that he was going to get called up to the U-20s, but was denied because, you know, Luna obviously was going out and now Gomez is out. So I'm kind of glad, happy that he stayed. But I want to see in this Vancouver game, I want to see him get minutes. The last couple games, he's been getting like 10, 15 minutes. That's not enough for a 15-year-old. I mean, not 15-year-old, 17-year-old to get out there and be confident and showcase what he has to the fans. So I really like Fidel. I've talked to him a couple times. I really want him to have an impact on this team this season, even though he's 17. You know, age is just a number when it comes to soccer. You know, like, there's plenty of, like, Yamal in Barcelona, Kobe Mainoo at Manchester United. You know, if you trust your players and give them the playing time they need to develop, I feel like Mascheroni needs to give Barajas a little bit more time.
Fidel kind of reminds me of a young Carlos Vela. If you go back and you watch highlights and clips of Carlos Vela at that age, they kind of have similar play styles in the way that they advance the ball. And I like that, considering that Carlos Vela is probably one of the better Mexican international players that La Selección has seen. So yeah, like you mentioned, dude, the ceiling for Fidel is super high. The wings now, who do we see step up in those positions? Because I think the clear answer would probably be maybe go Anderson Julio, but then that kind of leaves a question mark of, well, now you have this hole of a backup striker, and is that a chance for maybe an Elijah Paul to step up? What are your kind of thoughts on who we should see on those wings, considering that Gomez and Luna's out?
So are we expecting Barajas to fill in that 10 role?
More likely. Okay. I think that's where I'm going with, because yeah, it seems naturally that he would go, unless Pablo Mascheroni decides to switch things up completely and decides to go 4-4-2, considering that Crooks might not be able to go this game.
Yeah, definitely. We're probably going to see, I would like to see Elijah Paul. I'm very high on Elijah Paul. I like what I see from him whenever he plays. I wouldn't be surprised maybe to see a Matthew Bell call up. He had a very good first game for the Monarchs. He has another player with a high ceiling. I wouldn't be surprised if we just throw out Julio and Chang on the wings, you know, like those are our backup guys. Yeah, I think Matthew Bell, I'm trying to think, there was a guy named, I think his name was like Barker or something, Louisville winger for Monarchs. Like, I wouldn't be surprised maybe if he gets a chance. I don't know, there's many possibilities. Obviously, I'm not the coach and I don't see what I see in training, like see what Mascheroni sees in training. So whatever he pits out, I trust in him. So
is this a chance for maybe a Gozo appearance too?
Oh yeah, I would not mind seeing Gozo either. He's a very good young talented player. So
we here on the show also love Xavier Gozo. We will always have that Houston game where he came on and almost scored. Yeah. We'll always remember that. And so yes, absolutely, I want to see Gozo on the field more. There's a lot of young guys that I think can really take this opportunity to step up and maybe find their footings as far as like Barajas, Gozo, as we mentioned. But I guess that's a good question. You mentioned are we expecting Fidel to be the 10? Would you maybe want to see Ross like keep that 4-2-3-1 that they've been running with all season, considering how many players are out, or maybe try to switch things up formation wise?
Considering the injuries, I honestly would not go with the 4-2-3-1. I think we should go back to what we did last season, which was kind of like a 4-2-2-2 or 4-4-2, and just throw in maybe Julio up top. Well, Julio's a substitute guy, so it's kind of like hard to be like, hey, Julio, go play 90 minutes because, you know, he's a fast guy. He likes to counter. So he's always a great player to bring in like the last 20 minutes. So it's kind of hard. So maybe throwing Elijah Paul up top and then Chang and Barajas at the wings. So you never know. Like, there's so many possibilities. Obviously, I'm not the coach again, so I don't know what's going on in Mastroianni's mind right now. But hopefully I can figure that out soon.
So this is a Vancouver team who up to this point in regular season play is undefeated. 2 wins, 1 draw, sitting in second place with 7 points. They were able to draw 1-1 with Charlotte, and then from there they beat San Jose 2-0. And then last week, coming off a 3-1 win against FC Dallas, did you see anything from Vancouver as far as like, maybe, I don't know, a weakness that Rousley can go after, or just what do you see from the way that Vancouver likes to play?
I've noticed their outside backs, none of them have really been impressive with me. When I look at their team sheet, like, everywhere else stands out besides the outside backs. It looks like the forwards to the midfielders to the back line, they're all have solid games. They all stand out. But their outside backs, it seems like they struggle and they don't really put up any numbers on the stat sheet. So maybe from a statistics point and just looking at the team sheet, I think maybe we should attack those guys and go at them. Because, like, yeah, it's like, I think that's what I would do, is take advantage of those outside backs and just hammer them.
You mentioned Takaoka is always having good games against Real Salt Lake, but one guy that I want to highlight is the striker, Brian White, who went over to Vancouver from the New York Red Bulls. No one really anticipated him to have the season that he had last year, even played Sergio Cordoba, former Real Salt Lake man, out of a job in Vancouver last season. But Brian White has been a surprise around the league. Do we expect the hot start and the scoring to continue for Brian White against Real Salt Lake?
I would not be surprised if he did. I would not be surprised if Krylock scored. I would not be surprised if Gold, if that's how you say your name. They're all going to be a threat. When I look at it, if it's Krylock, White, and Gold, if they're lined up, that's automatically a front three where I would be very cautious of. They all know how to get the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, either all three of them can finish. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, Brian, like, you can't just keep man mark one the whole time. You got to watch all three of them.
Demir Krylak obviously makes the move over to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. How weird is it going to be seeing him in a Vancouver jersey this weekend playing against Real Salt Lake?
It already is super weird seeing him in a Vancouver jersey. I remember I watched his debut against Tigres. I was really impressed with the way he played. I think he got a goal against Tigres.
He did, yes, yeah. On his debut. Yep, on his debut, he was able to score for Vancouver.
I know it's going to be super weird seeing our former captain, who was literally our captain last season, on a different team or in different colors. But hopefully they can handle it, because, you know, Krylak's a good player, and don't ever doubt him, man, because he'll make you pay. I'm still very saddened by that loss, though. I was hoping he would stay and retire at Real Salt Lake and maybe join the coaching staff one day, but
hey, the doors are always open, yep, for him to come back. Exactly. Demir knows he has a home here, so maybe one day, you know, who knows? We can't predict the future, but maybe one day we'll see Demir Krylak on that coaching staff because he loved it here.
Yeah.
Real quick, something that I forgot to mention when we were talking about Real Salt Lake is the defense. I think that the center backs have been a little bit mistake prone this season. They kind of made us lose 3 points in St. Louis with a little bit of miscommunication between the center backs. What's kind of your take on RSL's defense this season?
It's very leaky. No one's really shown any type of confidence, I feel like, in the back line. Besides Marcelo Silva, I feel like Marcelo Silva in the last two games he's played, he's been awesome. But then that brings us over to the left side of the defense. You know, you got Andrew Brody, Brian Vera. Vera, you know, hasn't been very good. You know, he made that mistake against St. Louis where whatever the striker's name is, Sammy Adeniran, mm-hmm, made that tying goal. He made that mistake. And then I think he made I think he made another mistake in the Colorado game too, where he left Bassett wide open, or not, I think he missed a clearance or something. But that left side of our defense has been very, very lackluster. You know, Brody against Colorado, he looked tired like 20 minutes into the game. Vera, you know, at the end of the game, you know, whenever the team's doing bad, you can tell by just the way like Vera's acting, you know, gets very angry easily. I don't know. That's just to me, though, is the left side of the defense needs to be fixed. The right side, to me, is being very good with, like, Silva and, you know, Hidalgo stepping in. Elneny playing awesome at the right back for the first couple games. And so I think we need the left side to match that energy that the right side's bringing into the defense right now.
I love that you mentioned Hidalgo, because I think that he's been one of the more underrated players, kind of flying under the radar. But he's been, you know, he's not really in the fans' eyes as like, oh, he's the guy, you know. But Hidalgo's having himself a season. I've really liked what I've seen from Bodie early on, and I hope that can continue for Bodie, because I think if he continues, he's going to be poised for some big things this season on that right back position.
Yeah, for sure. Especially from a kid who's probably played forward winger like his whole career, and then to be able to drop back and perform at the outside back position, that's awesome. You know, and Nelly's not bad there either. I feel like he's great there too. So to have two guys come from out of position and to be able to dominate that right back is awesome. But speaking of right back, Kevin Bonilla, obviously he's out for the season, but I was really excited to see him.
I was too, man.
And to dominate that, like I watched film on him. He looks very good, but still, not to take any away from Hidalgo. Hidalgo's coming in, and I feel like, for my opinion, he's locked down that right back spot unless Elneny is being dropped back to the right spot, right back.
Yeah, and from what it looks like, it seems like Anelli's going to be a lock in that midfield, especially now with Pablo Ruiz being injured, which I don't mind at all. I think Anelli has also been probably one of our best players this season, and he's kind of made himself a lock in that midfield alongside Ojeda, which is interesting because in the last game, no Ojeda, and instead of Palacio, which maybe would have been like the option that we all thought Mastro was going to with, he goes with Caliscan. So I kind of want Anelli to maybe drop back to the right back just so we can have Palacio on the field so he can get minutes and get more comfortable, because I feel like that's something he's just missing right now is minutes for Nelson Palacio.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we haven't seen him since the Miami game.
Yep.
There must just be something going on in the locker room, something. You know, maybe like a Savarino type situation with Palacio going on right now, and he's not earning his minutes. And maybe that's what it's kind of seemed like, though, is Mastroianni's very high on Caliscan and the work he's putting on in practice. So I'm not surprised to see Caliscan playing at all. So,
do you dare make any predictions for Vancouver? Do you want to like throw out like a prediction for Saturday's game?
Let's just throw out a 2-2 draw.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just throw that out. Yeah.
Solid. I think RSL bounces back. I think RSL goes to Vancouver and somehow manages the 3 points against the Whitecaps. And I really hope that they get those three, because it's kind of needed early on at this point of the season. Moving on to real quick, just some League Cup news that dropped. Real Salt Lake and got their schedule announced for the League's Cup. They will be playing Liga MX Club Atlas at America First Field on August 1st, and then they'll be traveling on Monday, August 5th to Houston to play the Houston Dynamo. I know it's a little bit early, but are we expecting a deep run from Real Salt Lake in League's Cup? What are we looking at for League's Cup for RSL?
It's so hard because, like, it's a very controversial topic, I feel like, right now with League's Cup and, like, the Open Cup and all that. I would like to see maybe us get some silverware in the League's Cup. I fully expect us to beat Atlas when they come in. I want to beat Dynamo. Dynamo, in my opinion, are not as good as they were last year.
I agree. I agree with you on that.
They are not as scary, but I still wouldn't count them out, though, because they always seem to have our number, and so it's still going there confident. I would like to at least make it far, but if not, I have no problem with that. You know, if Mastroianni goes into this and says, hey, you know what, let's just give the young guys some playing time like they would in the Open Cup or something, and then maybe take the Open Cup more serious than the League's Cup, you know, just whatever. You can expect many things from these type of games. So
Well, and then considering the fact that only 8 MLS teams made the Open Cup, I think this year, out of any year, should be the year that Rouse Lake should go all in on Open Cup and get back to Champions Cup football.
I agree. I would love to see RSL back in Champions Cup football. I don't think I've ever witnessed them being the Champions Cup, so that would be a first for me, so I would love that.
Carson, any last thoughts, any last things you want to say regarding RSL, RSL Vancouver, or anything before we wrap things up here?
I would like to talk about the international call-ups a little bit more coming up. Obviously, Gomez got called up as a replacement for, I think it was Sinisterra from... Where does he play? I think
from Bournemouth. Yep.
From Bournemouth. Okay.
Yes.
That's a, I know people were Hayden Nelson on Twitter was just like, was hyping that up a lot. And then someone was like, you know, his value is not going to go up just from going on the national team, which I totally disagree with. I think a player at Andres Gomez's age, even making the bench for a national team like Colombia and going off and playing games for them, even getting like appearances, that just shows clubs like around the world, hey, this guy might be the real deal. He's getting called up to his national team. He plays in the MLS. I could potentially see Gomez getting sold more than what Diego Luna gets sold for. You know, that's the South America effect. You know, Diego Luna's American. Andres Gomez is, you know, South American, Colombian. But let's go and talk about Diego Luna. Diego Luna made the Olympic roster. He's going to play with plenty of guys that play in Europe, like Tanner Tessman, Busio, many other guys. That's a great opportunity for Luna to just gain more experience under his belt and just keep becoming a better player, you know? People will look at his stats for the first couple games and be like, he's having not a great start to the season, but I feel like he's made a really good impact. You know, he obviously had that assist against LAFC. He had, like, a hockey assist against St. Louis, so Luna's impact is there. And then let's see, we can go on over the Gavin Beavers. Once again, you look at that roster, and to me that's another great experience for Gavin Beavers. I heard he is very highly thought of in the USFF, so that's awesome for to have a keeper like that. You know, it just kind of brings back another David Ochoa vibes, but you know, like having a young, great goalkeeper. I don't know what you think about David Ochoa, but I thought he was awesome. But, you know, he went to many teams and had personal issues and locker room stuff. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on, like, people getting called up? What are you thinking?
No, I think it's fantastic. No matter which way you look at it, I think it's great for people for guys at that age to be out representing their countries. I know there was a lot of talk about Gomez going for and playing for the youth national team earlier in the winter with Nelson, and there was a lot of word of like people in at the European level kind of like looking at Gomez with those call ups, and same thing with Luna. And so I think no matter what, them going, having that opportunity, and especially kind of backed up by good performances like Luna, for example, at the World Cup. Where he came in and he had a phenomenal World Cup. That just adds to that value. That just adds to the type of it's going to add to their experience, their value, what they learn and what they do on the field. And so no matter which way you look at it, I think it's great. Same thing with Gavin. He might not be getting that much play time sitting behind McMath, but still there's European clubs who are kind of keeping an eye on him to, you know, potentially pull something off on a move in the near future for Big Gavin. They've all earned it. They've all done well enough here with the club at the in MLS and in MLS to have that opportunity. And it's from there you only get more eyes on you. You only get more people looking at you. And I think you go out, you go have back it up with some good performances, and then the world is open for you.
Yeah, going back to that. Back to Gavin Beavers' discussion. What is your thoughts on Gavin Beavers coming in the Colorado game and being handed that start by Mastroianni when McMath, I feel like, has had like a solid like first couple games of the season?
I think McMath is off to a great start. We've talked about it on the show here a little bit too, where we've been impressed with Zach McMath, except maybe one or two errors in the Miami game. But it's hard for goalkeepers because you can't sub them in. you can't sub him in the 70th minute unless, you know, there's like an injury or whatever. It's not like outfield players where you're like, hey, let's get you on. It's more of like, hey, I like what Pablo's doing it with, hey, looking at the specific dates on the calendar and being like, hey, this, I want you to play this game. I want you to start this game, yada, 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 and kind of have that plan for him to get more minutes and have those opportunities and kind of know when your name's going to be called. I feel like it's different, obviously, you know, if there's like an injury to McMath or something, but for Gavin to just kind of have that mapped out and know, hey, I'm going to be starting this game or I'm going to be working on this game. I feel like it helps him know he's going to be ready for that opportunity. And I think it's just good minutes for Gavin to come in and kind of take that mantle from Zach McMath, because I do think Beavers, if RSL is able to keep him around for a while, I think Beavers has a future with the first team for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually really high on Gavin Beavers. I remember watching him play last summer for the Monarchs, and I think the summer before that, where they played Chelsea, Crystal Palace, like all these great teams, and I think they went to penalties against Chelsea. And, you know, Chelsea's known for like having one of the best academies in the world, yep, producing players. And to see a player like Gavin Beavers, you know, this young American goalkeeper from, I think, where is he from? Vegas, Nevada, come in and to win a penalty shootout for the Real Monarchs, just like that, that just blew my head off. I was just like, that's awesome. You know, Chelsea, Monarchs, you know, that's just awesome. That's why I'm super high on Gavin Beavers. I love Zach McMath, though. He always comes in clutch for us whenever, but I also want to see Gavin Beavers keep that development going and hopefully be that star goalkeeper for Real Salt Lake one day, like Nick Raimondo was.
I made some early season predictions with some friends, and I said, look, if I would not be surprised if by the end of the season, Gavin Beavers is the starting goalkeeper for Real. So like, no, and that's no dish to Zach, because I love Zach, and I thought he's had a fantastic start to the season. But with RSL focusing a lot more on development and looking at a lot more at the younger players and giving them more opportunities, I told him, I was like, look, listen, I would not be surprised if Zach McMath was, or excuse me, Gavin Beavers was the starting goalkeeper for RSL come the end of the 2024 season.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen a couple people on other people's podcasts where they're like, kind of like a little bit just upset about Gavin Beavers coming in the Colorado game and how they don't want RSL to be a development club and sell off players, which, I mean, for an MLS team, that's not, you know, we don't have the most money in the world and all that, but development's awesome. If you,
yeah,
like, you know, you look at teams like Ajax, Borussia Dortmund, all these teams that produce players consistently, and like, you know, that's how they make their money, is through developing players and selling them off and still competing. RSL competes, you know, they make the playoffs consistently almost every year. I mean, we're not the richest club, but right now I like the way that I like the path we're going in and bringing in these young players and developing them into confident players that can take the next step into Europe and, you know, but on the way, but also make some cash off of them at the same time.
And I think one of the biggest name of the game of football sometimes comes down to finding a good balance between developing and competing for championships and putting out a championship winning team. And I think that's what RSL is kind of working for this season, which is something we, you know, it's kind of just kind of the impressions that I've gotten with what Pablo said about the youth development, with what Kurt Schmidt has said about bringing in players, is it seems like RSL right now is in kind of this middle gray area where they're trying to find the perfect balance between getting guys like Gozo, getting guys like Luna, Barajas, etc. You know, the list goes on. That opportunity to come in and play for that first team, have that opportunity to become really great players while also bringing in a fair amounts of Chichos, of Crookses, and stuff like that, to be able to have a competitive enough team to try to win some silverware. And I like that. I like that direction that Ralph Lake's heading. And there's no doubt in my mind that guys like Pablo, guys like Schmidt are going to be able to find that balance.
And yeah, and like at first I was a little hesitant on Pablo Mastroianni being the head coach, but I think he's grown on me a lot. Like like being able to just witness the way he talks and like how confident he is in this team and like how he controls the locker room and all that is awesome. But yeah, like the fine line of championships and development, I like, you're not getting players like Barajas, Gomez, Palacio, Luna, mm-hmm. like all these young kids just coming in just to come in, you know, they're obviously being sold like a vision for them from the club. And that's the reason they're here, is to, as a stepping stone, I feel like, and to help them get the Europe, get into the big leagues, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's one of the things that Luna said when he first got here is, hey, this, I came to this team because they laid out a plan for me. They put it exactly how, what my plan, like what their plan is to help me grow. And that's why I picked this team. And so I feel like with them just going, being transparent about, hey, this is the plan we have for you to develop. And I think that makes it big for guys like Luna, for guys like Barajas to want to come in, learn, develop, and then hopefully make that jump to Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's kind of take a little switch into this conversation. We talked about development and all that. Let's go talk about Katranas.
Okay.
I really would like to see more of Katranas in this Vancouver game. Don't get me wrong, I love the time we've had with Andrew Brody. I think it's time to slowly but surely move on and introduce Katranas. From the little cameo he had against Colorado, I really liked what I saw. He looks like a very good modern-day fullback, attacking, defending. And just from like the press conference too, just the way he is very confident in his abilities, and he even explained the type of player he is. And I think Katranas could be a player that I enjoy watching for many years for Real Salt Lake. So hopefully that signing works out.
He seems, I would not be surprised if he got an extended run in Vancouver. Great. But I would not be surprised if he got the starting nod against the Whitecaps. And from what we've seen, from what I've been able to see just off his film from, you know, his time in Poland and from maybe like the 10 minutes he got against Colorado, he loves to get forward, and that's something that's made our fullbacks successful in the past couple years, is like the ability for the fullbacks to get forward, join the attack, create opportunities, but then come back and be a tank. And I feel like Katranas is going to have a good mix of both.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that from fullbacks. Fullbacks is probably like one of my favorite positions to like analyze and watch every game, is to see how players will get up and attack. And I love a playmaking fullback and a scoring fullback, you know, like that Joao Cancelo type player, play both sides. But I have high hopes for Katranas, and I hope it works out. But also it's kind of sad to see Oviedo kind of like slowly fall down the pecking order. I mean, I would not be surprised to see Oviedo play at wing against Vancouver, considering how low our depth is. So
He did last year for a few games. Yep. And he played that left mid position.
And I did not mind it. Oviedo is a good player. He knows what he's doing. So it's a veteran. I like Oviedo.
He's very smart. Cool. Any last things that you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, not that I think of. Let's just say something real quick. Fans, be patient with Bodhi Hidalgo. I know his last game wasn't his best game. He's still learning as a player who has had to play that position before, from coming from forward. He's learning, maybe not as fast as Anelli did to play outside back, but I see the potential there. Let's all just calm down and not lose the Bodhi Hidalgo hype and
he's taken some big steps so far this season. Yep. Like I mentioned earlier, he's been one of my like underrated, unsung heroes so far, because he's really, I love how he started the season, and I just hope that he can continue, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I love Bodhi Hidalgo, and I don't know. Yeah, that's what I got to say. You got anything else to say?
I think that's it, man. All right. Carson, let the people know where they can find you, where they can follow your content, your ads, everything everybody needs to know to give you to support you.
So at Twitter, now called X, you can find me at Carson Lance. Capital C, capital L. And you can also find me at Salt Lake Focus on Twitter, Instagram, and you can find me on Instagram at Carson W. Lance. Those are my main social platforms. You may find me on Facebook and all that, but I will be I do my most content on Twitter and Instagram. So
there you go. Carson, thank you so much for joining us. This was fun. I had a good time talking to you and picking your brain. Let's do it again sometime, man. This was awesome.
I'm down, man. It was finally nice to meet you and talk some ball. So hopefully I see you soon in person and we can talk in person.
There you go. Right. We're not done yet. In just a second, we're going to have Sam joining us, Sam Rowan from the Third Sub, all the way from Vancouver, Canada, to help us give you a little bit of a preview of the Vancouver Whitecaps, what to expect from this Vancouver team this upcoming weekend. And looks like he is joining us now. Sam Rowan, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, and looking forward to the match this weekend.
Hey, us too, man. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming on. Real quick, talk to us a little bit about what you do for Vancouver, for the Whitecaps. Talk to us about the Third Sub and everything we need to know about your content.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been providing independent coverage of Vancouver Whitecaps, Canadian Premier League, League One BC, all the, whether it's pro grassroots stuff going on up here in Canada on the West Coast. That's kind of what we do on the written side, on the podcast side. So, and then formerly kind of affiliated with the SB Nation network as well. So, you know, been part of it for quite a while now, and just enjoying sharing knowledge, information, opinions with passionate people in the community.
Awesome, man. And are you, give us a little bit about your like soccer background. How'd you get into doing this? Talk to us a little bit about your kind of love for soccer.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, I guess I grew up at the right time where the Vancouver Whitecaps just were in their infancy as an MLS franchise. And so I grew up as the team progressed. And I think so there was a natural fit there. And then I was interested in, covering sports and kind of like being involved with it at a deeper level. And that's kind of where the opportunity was and where I found kind of the right fit. And so it just kind of made sense for me. And there's so many passionate people in the community. It's maybe not, soccer is very clearly not sport number one up here in Canada, but that means that the people that are invested are all in and they really care about it and they go out of their way to put in the effort. So I think it's, we got a great group of, you know, whether it's like youth coaches, people in the academies, you know, people just supporting local teams. It's really fun to be a part of. So, yeah.
I love that, man. That's a great answer. Real quick, before we dive into Vancouver, you have a favorite Vancouver memory? Like what's your favorite moment so far in either covering Vancouver, being a Vancouver fan, just what's your favorite Whitecaps memory?
I mean, I guess the one right off the top would be back-to-back Canadian championships these last two seasons. I mean, that's something that obviously, you know, US Open Cup's a big deal and there's a ton of discussion about it right now, given what the MLS has been doing, and you see how important it is to people in the U.S., right? And obviously, Canadian Championship is a little lesser known in the sense that, you know, not as many MLS teams involved, and it kind of has been a three-team competition up until recently, but you're getting more and more teams involved now. And so for the Whitecaps to rise above Montreal and Toronto these past 2 years and, to have hardware in back-to-back seasons, I think that's a real highlight. And then as well for me, I think I really enjoy and have always enjoyed the Cascadian matchups, whether it's Seattle-Portland coming up to BC Place or heading back down the I-5 into one of those environments. I mean, credit where credit is due, both the Sounders and the Timbers put on a great show, and it's just a tremendous environment. So I think that there's always a little bit of extra juice, whether it's Canadian Championship, whether it's Cascadia rivalry. I know that RSL and Vancouver in the past, they sort of like match them up on rivalry week and people were kind of wondering what the heck is this, but but for me those Cascadia matchups and then winning Canadian championships back-to-back seasons, I think that's kind of been a high point for the club and a high point in terms of having something really fun to cover.
That's awesome, man. Real quick, let's dive into this matchup. Real Salt Lake taking on the Vancouver Whitecaps this weekend, 5:30 Mountain Time kick. What can we expect from this Vancouver side? This is a Vancouver team who I think did a good job building this past winter. Off to a great start, 2 wins, 1 draw, no losses yet to talk about for Vancouver. Talk to us about this team, man.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. The last two seasons, it's been a little bit more of a slow build. So certainly in the winter, they've only made three or four signings, but those signings have been pretty like careful and well thought out, not necessarily too splashy. You know, they're not dropping $5, $6, $8 million on a DP striker, but just making little depth additions, you know, someone like Yoyi Takaoka in goal, having consistency in that spot, bringing in a couple center backs that they really like. I think that's made a big difference because, I mean, people around the league, I guess, at least to some extent, it's always hard to gauge exactly what like league-wide knowledge is of a team like Vancouver because they're maybe, you know, up in the Pacific Northwest, forgotten about a bit. But Ryan Gault and Brian White, that's probably the main story, right? Like those guys producing offensively, consistently. And when you're doing that, you're always going to have a chance in matches. But they've been able to make those little tweaks around the edges that have made the difference. Last season, the talking point was they were a top five level attacking unit when it comes to XG, you know, chances created, all that underlying numbers stuff. They really excelled, but defensively, they were really, really poor from like the pretty much the worst team in the league in terms of defending set pieces and crosses. It was a really tough scene, and then just consistency as well as at the defensive end, I think, was a bit of a problem this year. I mean, shout out to Tom Bogert. I was listening to his YouTube recently, and he pointed out that they'd conceded the least amount of shots on targets through the first three matches. That is a remarkable difference from last season, and that's not really based on personnel. It's based more on tactics, kind of a second year for some of these guys in the system. Say, for example, like a Matias Laborda they brought in from Uruguay on defense. He'd never played outside Uruguay last year, and it took a little bit of time. He didn't look great at first. He's hit the ground running in the second season, first in CONCACAF Champions Cup against Tigres, and then throughout the first couple matches of the regular season. So yeah, it's been incremental gains. In terms of the matches themselves, Charlotte on opening day, a 1-1 draw, that was a little bit of a disappointment. I think it had fans a bit restless. They wanted a big win on opening day, but since going out on the road, getting two big road wins to kind of erase that stumble out of the gates. Now, I guess the one caveat is that those wins were against San Jose and FC Dallas, teams that have been really struggling so far this year. So I like this matchup for Vancouver. They get to try to reestablish, you know, can they be dominant at home? And can they test themselves against what I think should be a good Real Salt Lake team, right? Like, you know, finished really strong last year, so showed some good things. So this is a matchup of teams that, you know, want to be fighting, I would think, for that top four this season in the West. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I love that you mentioned last season a little bit, because I think for our fan base, a lot of people are curious about Sergio Cordoba going to Vancouver last season after playing a year with Real Salt Lake. But then things didn't really go the way that we all thought it was going to go. I thought he was going to go over and be successful in Vancouver, but wasn't the case. Brian White kind of took everybody by surprise. Talk to us a little bit about that striker situation you guys had going on last season.
Yeah, so with Sergio, it was a weird one because Cordoba would have been perfect for the way the Whitecaps played the season before he was brought in. So that was like full on, you know, one of the lowest possession teams in the league, hit in transition, get Cordoba out in space. You know, you guys will obviously know, despite the fact that he's a bigger body, he can move. He plays really well in those transition moments. And then Vanni Sartini changed the play style a little bit, and it became a little more possession based. Brian White is really good with his back to goal in those hold up scenarios. So they'd often hit it forward to White. White would lay it off to Ryan Gault, and then they'd interplay off of that. And Cordoba just didn't really have that in the locker. Also, Vanni Sartini pressing, tactical discipline are elements that for any player he finds really important. Brian White does those at an elite level. Sergio Cordoba, those skills are still under development. He has the raw skill. We saw in the League's Cup too, right before he was transferred, he kind of started to heat up. And you could see like, oh, this is the guy at RSL the season prior that, you know, when he kind of gets on a heater, he's a really talented player. But I think ultimately, it was just never a tactical fit in Vancouver. they also kind of missed out on some other targets I think they were looking at in the winter. And then they were like, oh, shoot, we got to sign a striker. And maybe that's, you know, we got someone in the league that we like enough that we've seen he's had success at the MLS level. And I thought they could make it work. But it felt like one that was a little doomed before it ever really started, because the tactics went away from him before he ever really got integrated into the squad.
I love that you bring up tactics and kind of, and we're heading in that direction, because now I want to know, this is, it looks like to me, this Vancouver sets up with a three in the back. Talk to us a little bit about how they like to play and what we can expect tactically from this Vancouver side on Saturday.
So I make a bit of a joke that Vanni Sartini would probably play with 11 sort of fullback wingback types if he could. And he's taken so many players throughout Vancouver's squad. He's taken sixes, he's taken tens, he's taken eights. He plays everyone at that wide spot. And he's very tactically fluid. Like, you see a lot of different looks. A lot of, you know, what you see on the starting lineup sheet is not necessarily how they're gonna play in and out of possession. So far this season, they have gone back to three at the back. And as I mentioned, I think that's because of Matias Laborda's growth. They had Ranko Veselinovic and Tristan Blackman, who played the majority of the matches last season, certainly whenever they weren't injured. But Laborda couldn't, at that point, really be relied upon as a third center back. So they often played with four, or sort of like a hybrid system, where, you know, a fullback would tuck in and create a back three, but then he'd kind of go forward. This year, they've been really consistent with that back three structure, and they're doing a much better job avoiding conceding those crosses, conceding those dangerous shots. So it seems to be working. And then you've got Pedro Vite and Andres Kubas in the center of midfield. Kubas, the second DP outside Ryan Gold for Vancouver, and he's just like a prototypical South American destroyer six, you know, that's the destroy and progress type, where he'll get stuck in with challenges. He's very, very smart in tight quarters and can really hit an outlet pass as well. Pedro Vite, when he came to Vancouver Whitecaps from South America, played much further up the pitch. He was kind of like a winger or number 10, someone who had a ton of flair on the ball, but maybe lacked the structure that the Whitecaps were looking for. But he's made an incredible progression, now is a really good number eight in this system. Obviously, we talked about Ryan Gold, Brian White up front. It's been either Demir Krylak or Fafa Pico. The interest, so Fafa was tremendous in the last match, but he's away with Haiti. So it's definitely going to be Krylak this upcoming weekend. Also, it's the revenge matchup for Vancouver. Yeah, so Demir Krylak, it's been interesting up front so far, because obviously a very talented player. And I think the Whitecaps really like what he can bring to the squad. As I mentioned, those things like tactical discipline, pressing awareness, really important. He fits in those respects. But so far, the mix with Brian White and Ryan Gold in the front three has been a bit flawed. They just don't really have a ton of pace with White and Krylak up front. So that's why Fafa Pico, I think, has a lot of Vancouver Whitecaps fans very encouraged. But we're going to see Krylak and White again this weekend. And so I think that's something to watch, is how do those two mesh? And can they do enough to stress defensive lines on their own, or do they need something else in that front three mix? That's kind of a question that, despite the fact that Vancouver's off to a good start, it's something that long-term, I think, supporters have a, I don't want to say concern, but it's something that people are watching out for.
Real quick, too, I love that you bring up Demir Krylak, because that's going to be a huge storyline heading into this match. But have you had the chance or the opportunity yet to maybe interact and kind of get to know Demir? Because we, as a fan base here, absolutely love the guy.
Yeah, so I haven't really had any personal interactions yet. I've actually been away from Vancouver for a bit, but I'm back now. So I'm looking forward to, you know, being at training and being there on match day and kind of seeing the personality. Because I know every story I heard from RSL is like, you know, the time he would take with supporters, the charitable causes, all like the little things, that he just seems like a really intentional guy. And I think that comes across. And certainly something I noted is hearing from other players, hearing from the coaching staff after his arrival. So they went to Spain in the preseason, and so they're kind of there for 2-3 weeks. And just the praise that was heaped on Demir in terms of his leadership, the element he brings to the squad. I think the respect, the admiration, and also just like a fun guy to be around. I feel like that's very clear that everyone in the Whitecaps locker room is really happy to have him.
And we are all very sad over here still that he unfortunately had to leave. And of course had to go to a Western Conference rival, because that's just going to make this matchup against Vancouver that much more fun. And moving on to maybe a little bit of just kind of give us any other guys that we have to be on the lookout for. We mentioned Brian White, Ryan Gold. Who else do you think can be a real threat going forward for Vancouver against Rouse Lake on Saturday?
So, yeah, I mean, I've covered a good amount on the squad. The part of it we haven't talked about yet is those fullback, wingback types, those wide roles for Vancouver. That's maybe been the least consistent part of Vancouver's lineup over the past two seasons. You had Julian Gressel, but he got traded midseason and obviously went on with Columbus and they won MLS Cup. Now he's with Miami. And then they brought in two Canadians, Sam Adekubi and Richie Larea midseason as kind of a midseason last year, I should say, as kind of a replacement, a response to the Gressel departure. And then Sam Adekubi was under a long-term contract. He's not been fit to start this season. He's been dealing with some knee issues, so they've been without him. And Richie Larea off to TFC. Now, that didn't really work out either, because unfortunately Richie's gone down with an injury himself, and he's out of the mix. But that's left a little bit of a hole in those wide roles for Vancouver. But the guy that everyone's really excited about and believes could kind of, you know, be the next guy to take a big step forward is Ali Ahmed, who was on Vancouver Whitecaps FC 2 a couple seasons ago, played really well last year for the first team, got into the Canadian men's national team squad, which is really, they need some central midfielders. And it's a big coup, I think, for him to have, you know, take the jump from MLS Next Pro, first team, men's national team, all in a short span of time. So he's a danger man in that wide role. He played in central midfield last season, but given the squad depth, he has enough positional versatility to move out to that wide spot. So ultimately, Adekubi and Ahmed, the two Canadians, that's probably what you're looking at is Vancouver's strongest team in those wide positions. But with Adekubi not quite ready to go yet, you're probably going to get Ahmed and either a Ryan Raposo or a Javane Brown, Luis Martins. These are more realistically depth players for Vancouver. But yeah, Ali Ahmed, if you're asking for another danger man, really outside White and Gall, that's I think where a lot of Whitecaps supporters have their hopes hinged this season, because you know, he scored a tremendous goal a couple weeks ago off the bench, and yeah, has Vancouver Whitecaps fans pretty excited.
I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick, and we're going to go with predictions. Do you have any prediction for this weekend for Vancouver taking on Real Salt Lake?
So I think I'm 0-3 so far this season, because I had them for a win on opening day against Charlotte. I went draw the last 2 weeks, you know, sensible prediction on the road. They managed to get W's both times. It's an interesting one. I mean, I do really rate this RSL squad. I like a lot of what they did and kind of the way you saw them grow at the end of last year. So, I mean, I might go for another draw, honestly, like, you know, a 2-2 draw. I feel like, I mean, I'd be curious for your perspective. My sense is that RSL has been played better this season than their record, than their start has indicated. So I feel like they're going to be hungry to come up to BC Place. But at the same time, the Whitecaps, you know, they could really use that emotional lift of a home win, because there have been bigger attendances in Vancouver. This is as good and as interesting and popular as the team's been since COVID. And I feel like they sense this opportunity to kind of capture the market. Vancouver, especially in the summertime, it's like getting eyeballs, getting butts in seats. It's very competitive. People do lots of other things, so you have to kind of capture the imagination. But yeah, I guess I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw, but I think obviously, you know, the Whitecaps are going to be hungry to push for more than that.
I think the good news for Vancouver this weekend is the fact that RSL is heading to Vancouver with no Diego Luna, no Andres Gomez, no Matt Crooks, which is probably our three of our most important attacking players. So it's going to be a rough one for it's going to be a difficult match for Rouse Lake, especially with the way Vancouver's playing right now. I really liked what I've seen from the Whitecaps early on this season. It's going to be a difficult game for Rouse Lake, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the international absences are always interesting. As I mentioned, I mean, I think Vancouver will miss Fafa Pico, whether it's as a starter or off the bench. That's that pace to stretch the field. Other than Ali Ahmed, again, they don't really have anyone that does that. So I'm interested to see how Real Salt Lake will set up. If they know that there isn't that pace up front to really threaten, there's certainly ways that other teams have sat back reasonably deep. Like we saw Dean Smith for Charlotte. He had a very intentional game plan on opening day where it was like, we are going to sit in our structure. We're going to play patiently on the ball in possession when they could. And they really, really frustrated the Whitecaps for like the majority of the first half. The Whitecaps made some adjustments. But even so, Vancouver never really broke through. So I think that's the threat for a Vancouver side is does the other team have some tactical answers to their limitations that maybe stagnates the game a little bit? Vancouver, I think, you know, going back to last year, if the match opens up, if it starts to be a transition contest, that's a problem for the other team. Because we saw that against FC Dallas and San Jose, really both. They played disciplined for a time. And then when there were a few more chances and the match started to open up, it was like, okay, all of a sudden Vancouver took over. So I think that's the game within the game to watch out for is, if it turns into a transition battle, I think you have to like Vancouver's chances, but if it can stay within kind of, you know, a coach's tactical structure, then that might be the recipe to success for Real Salt Lake.
Has it been, I guess, different for Vancouver without Sartini? Obviously, Vanni Sartini's been suspended the first couple of games. Or is it still very much Sartini's ideas that you guys have seen in there as far as the style of play?
It's a good question. So I don't know how many supporters or, you know, people in MLS outside Vancouver, obviously the coaches do know this, but probably fans might not know, is that Vanny really comes from a background of being a coach of coaches, more of like a soccer educator. He was the Whitecaps director of, they called it the director of methodology, but it was sort of like he oversaw all the coaching within the academies, kind of synergizing everything with the first team, making sure that, you know, guys at the U16 level understand the same concepts that the first team plays with, so that the idea is that, you know, you're integrated throughout the entire system. And he's, you know, coached coaches at the highest level with UEFA certifications and all these things. So that's a long-winded way of saying that he comes from a background of being up in the booth, not being on the touchline. That's kind of where he started, and then he's transitioned to being that bench boss on the touchline. So I think if anyone's prepared for that kind of challenge of coaching guys up in the week and then being hands off on match day, Vanny's actually in a very good position to do that. And he also spoke as well about, since he came in as an interim manager, making the coaching staff a little bit smaller, less assistants, you know, not too many stats or, you know, video guys, just kind of keeping it a core group and making sure that each of those coaches understands everything within the squad. So as much as you might be in charge of defensive set pieces, it's not going to mean that you don't understand what's going on in terms of attacking patterns, in terms of, you know, throw-in concepts, all these other things. So Michael D'Agostino, the guy that stepped in, it's not like he's being thrown into the frying pan. These guys, I think they're really all on the same page. It's a tight-knit group. So Michael D'Agostino is undefeated as a manager for Vancouver Whitecaps. I think it's like 3-0-1 or something like that. So far, so good. And the suspension got reduced as well from 6 down to 4. So this is the last match the Whitecaps will be without Sartini. So yeah, long-winded way of saying no, I don't really think it's – you can see how it might have tripped them up, but so far, so good for Vancouver in that regard.
Well, hey, Sam, thank you so much. That was super informative. I know a lot more about Vancouver than I did at the beginning of this. I wanted to bring you on because I didn't know much about Vancouver going into this one. And so I'm sure the fans, of course, will be appreciative of all this information as well for Vancouver. Real quick, before we wrap things up, give us your socials. Give us your ads. Where can we follow you? Where can we go check out your content and all that?
Yeah, if you're interested in any Vancouver Whitecaps or Canadian soccer content, especially kind of focused on the West Coast, thethirdsub.ca. You can find me at Samuel_Rowboat on Twitter or X, and you can find our you know kind of brand at the3rdsub on Twitter/X as well. So yeah, if you're looking for that kind of content, check us out. And been an absolute pleasure. I'm really looking forward to the match this weekend, and it's always fun to kind of say hello to some fellow MLS commentators and gain a little bit of knowledge of what's going on around the league.
We have one of our guys heading up to Vancouver for the match. One of our guys here on the show, and his name is Josh Clark. He'll be out there heading to Vancouver for his first time, and so he's also very excited to head out there and catch a match.
That's awesome. Well, I'll look out for him in the press area, and yeah, it should be a good one. I'm really looking forward to it.
There you go. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
You as well, man. Thank you. That's going to do it for us here on the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network. Make sure to go follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter or X. We like to post highlights. We like to keep you guys informed with the latest RSL news. Make sure to go subscribe to our YouTube as well for Real Salt Lake related content. And again, thank you everybody for listening, for sticking around and supporting the show. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed those conversations with Carson Lance and with Sam Rowan to preview the upcoming match. We'll talk to you next time here on the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network.